Welcome to another episode of Conduct Detrimental. I am Dan Lust. I'm joined by Stephanie Weisenberger. What's up, Steph?
I normally say what's up, gang, but today it's what's up, Dan.
So just the two of us today. We have another episode that will be on the feed shortly pertaining to the John Gruden Washington football email nonsense, as well as kind of an update on the St. Louis Rams lawsuit. We have a special guest, Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports. But we figured we'd leave that episode to be the football topics, but it was such a busy week that we thought we could probably sneak in another episode about some non-football topics. So we have four topics on the slate for today. We're going to talk a little Ben Simmons suspended for what else? Conduct detrimental. Kyrie Irving's standoff with the vaccination with the Brooklyn Nets. A similar issue with college football. Nick Rolovich, the coach of Washington State Cougars, 4-3, very publicly, he's the first Division I coach to say that he was not vaccinated. He was just fired from the university, so we'll talk about that briefly. And then an update on a story that we've covered early and often. I'm sure it's not the last of it, but the Evander Kane saga, an update on that end. Okay, so before we get into the substance, Steph, how's it going?
I'm pretty good. How are you? And I just want to remind everyone, all of our listeners, that, you know, New York Bar results are coming out soon. I use Themis. Highly recommend everyone else use Themis. Be sure to visit themisbar.com/condetrimental. So our sponsors know that we sent you. Plus, when you input your information there, you will be set up for your free resources. And if you enroll for Bar Review before October 31st, Halloween, you can get the course for up to $1,000 off. Current pricing is $15.95 for payment in full, $16.95 with a $20 deposit, remainder due February 15th, 2022. Themis, what do you think about Themis, Dan? It's the best.
Do we have a website? Did they give us a URL with that? What is it like? Themis.com/condetrimental.
Themisbar.com/condetrimental.
There it is. So to the extent that you can, go to that URL, which is, Stephanie, again, can you remind us what it is?
Themisbar.com/condetrimental.
Go there and tell them how great we are. That's all. That's all your only job. That's it. There's no other qualifications. Okay. So on to business. Actually, before we have business, Stephanie, you didn't congratulate me. I made Super Lawyers Rising Stars for a third year in a row. How about that?
And in the sport.
And in the sports and entertainment category. It's a pretty big deal.
That is a big deal. There's only what, 2%?
2.5% of all lawyers make that. Full disclosure, I did reach out to Super Lawyers to sponsor something else with respect to our show. They have not got back to me. So they're slightly in the doghouse. Themis is actually number one. But yeah, you know, it's an honor. It's an honor. It's certainly an honor. And Stephanie, we should mention, this is our first time recording the podcast live in the same room. Is that possible?
Wait, yeah.
It's interesting.
We might have to get a little setup going in the Garagos office, a little condetrimental background.
We might have to. We might have to. But for purposes of this, we just have the audio. Maybe at some point we'll be really fancy-smancy and do some video-based shows, but just the audio today. Okay. So we keep getting, which is a good thing, we have a lot of people that tag us in these posts. And, you know, usually for the podcast, we pick like, I don't know, for the St. Louis Rams stuff, we've been putting a lot of these stories to the burner, but enough people tagged us in these. We said, you know what, let's carve out a little short episode. So Mike Lawson usually does the short episodes, but we have Stephanie who is trying to put on her producer hat. So yeah, we're going to do this one quick. Okay. So first and foremost, Ben Simmons suspended one game for conduct detrimental. I'm going to give the brief background, then I guess we'll get into a little bit of the law. So Ben Simmons, which we've talked about briefly, I believe, on the podcast, but Ben Simmons, obviously number one overall pick for the Philadelphia 76ers, kind of had a little bit of a, I don't know, mental collapse. I don't really know what you want to call it, but he clearly kind of checked out on the playoffs. Last year, he passed up an open dunk. You know, Joel Embiid blamed him for the team's failure. Doc Rivers kind of blamed him as well. And I think the question they asked Doc Rivers at the podium was like, do you see Ben being the point guard on the championship team? And Doc's like, I don't know. So Ben certainly feels that the relationship is strained. I'll get briefly, I guess the long and short, Ben was planning to hold out for a while. There was an NBA rule change that essentially, you know, I think he thought he was going to get all this money back paid to him in escrow. And then this NBA changed this rule and essentially said that Ben was at risk of forfeiting millions of dollars. So anyway, Steph, I'll turn it to you. Certainly the big update today is that Ben Simmons, though he has returned to the team, I believe as of October 8th. Is that the date? Right around there?
Yeah, I think it's October 8th. But he's missing first game tomorrow.
Right. But I guess, you know, the news is, even though he's back with the team, he's been suspended. So, Steph, I'll turn it to you for the details.
So the 76ers have fined the baby, Ben Simmons, who I will say, last time I said that I thought he was a baby, and Joel Embiid happens to agree with me. Apparently, he said that he was not here to babysit when asked if he considered trying to get Simmons to buy back into the team. So there you have it. That's my hot take, and Joel Embiid agrees with me. But 76ers fined Ben Simmons $1.4 million for his absence from four preseason games, $360,000 each game, and along with numerous team fines for mispractices, on-court workouts, and meetings. He hasn't earned any money since returning to the team on October 11th. And it just so happens that I actually did see on Twitter today a clip of Simmons at practice. He was wearing sweatpants and had his phone poking out of his pocket. So I can only imagine what Doc Rivers was feeling, seeing him on the court and really not seemingly all the way there, like you should be if you're being paid millions and millions of dollars in the NBA. And I think also the fact that he still has 4 years and $147 million remaining on his contract, I mean, I don't really understand what team for his behavior, but also for money purposes, is going to want to trade a player for a player who has seemingly done nothing beneficial, nothing positive for the team. I almost think it's more of a detriment for him even being back on the court practicing.
Yeah, it's a weird move. You know, the specifics, and I'm happy to link to it in the show notes to the extent I can figure that out. But I think what the move was, at least my understanding, and I was listening to the ESPN Daily podcast, which I've just known it's been around. I haven't checked it out, but they Ramona Shelburne and Pablo Torre did a nice breakdown of it. Essentially, the move, I think, from Simmons' camp, and we've talked about Simmons' agent Rich Paul before with Clutch Sports. Essentially, the move was to basically hold out for as long as he possibly could. The money would be put into escrow. It's a couple, I think it's $8.25 million. It's a lot of money, but it would be put into escrow. And then, you know, at least my understanding from ESPN's reporting is that initially there was a memo that was sent out by the NBA that basically said, yeah, if the money's held in escrow, you can still get it back at a later point in time. If you're, you know, traded or for whatever reason, you can get that money back. And there was, I'm not really sure what prompted it other than, you know, maybe the vaccine stuff. You know, we can speculate, but there was a change to that memo that essentially said that if you didn't have a valid reason for coming to camp, that you would not get that money. So, you know, on the fly, it looks like Clutch Sports and Ben Simmons changed their tune and said, you know what, we're not going to hold out. You know, there's a lot of money we're leaving on the table. It's, you know, in excess of $300,000 a game check, in addition to these millions of dollars. So it looks like Rich Paul and Ben Simmons pulled kind of a U-turn and said, you know what, we're going to have to report to camp. So, okay, I guess to Stephanie, to your point, right now, Ben Simmons is in camp, which surprised a lot of people. He showed up. He didn't tell anybody he was going to show up. And now that he's in camp, I don't know. I thought the saga was over. I thought Ben Simmons is going to be here. He's just going to play.
Yeah.
No more issues. But the story, you know, as you're reporting, and then I you know, it looks like he was, I think Woj reported he was dismissed from practice today.
Yeah, apparently yeah. Doc Rivers asked him to participate in a defensive drill. He refused.
This
Rivers,
wasn't even like it was a free throw drill, which
no,
he hates.
Exactly.
He loves playing defense.
Yeah, this is what he was supposed to be doing. This is what his thing is in basketball. And he refused. Doc Rivers asked again. He said no again. And Rivers essentially said, all right, you should go home then.
Yeah, so, I mean, here's the legal end of this, right? And this is why we felt the need to cover this first. Our podcast is called Conduct Detrimental. Obviously, there are some people coming new to this who don't know what that term means. It means when you are acting, you know, against the interests of the team, they have a right to fine you, suspend you. You know, when I was growing up, the first time I heard this term was Terrell Owens was, I think he was either suspended or fined from the Philadelphia Eagles for, you know, his own shenanigans. And Ben Simmons is reporting, right? He's not a holdout. But he's acting, like Steph said, he's acting like a little bit of a baby. And they're saying that you are acting in a way that's unbecoming of the team. So, you know, we're allowed to suspend you. So, you know, it's an odd move. I mean, that was my only point. It's an odd move to not be holding out anymore. You've reported, okay? And you now are making a scene so much so that you get suspended. So you reported to get paid because you're worried about losing this money under this new change to the NBA escrow laws. But now that you're here, you're acting in such a way that's still getting you suspended and fined. So what was the point of reporting if you weren't going to comply with your coach? Like, what was the point of that?
Exactly. There essentially is no point. I don't see how they can make the argument, oh, he should get paid for reporting to practice, but he's not really practicing. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing there. So it's kind of a waste of time.
Right. I mean, so here's the thing. I'm seeing people, everyone has their own takes on it, but at essentially, like, you know, the Sixers don't have to trade Ben Simmons. He just signed a max contract. I know there's a report that came out that, like, Clutch Sports asked, you know, Doc and Daryl Morey, the GM, for everyone to have like a little powwow all together. And they all wanted to air their grievances. And like Doc Rivers was like, listen, you signed a max deal. Like at the end of the day, you signed a contract. Like we kind of control you. So you got to play our game. And I don't know, Daryl Morey doesn't seem inclined to trade him. So Ben Simmons doesn't really have any cards. So maybe Ben Simmons was already a little bit of a red flag from a trade perspective because A, he collapsed in the playoffs. B, yeah, he can't shoot free throws. And then C, he's like kind of a head case. Like who's trading, you know, three first round picks or whatever they want for him. It's not like a Deshaun Watson scenario, obviously. It's like, Ben Simmons, I don't know if he's necessarily worth that much because he's just question mark on the court. Like he's available. He's going to play. I don't know, Steph, if you were general manager of like the Sacramento Kings, right? Or like the San Antonio Spurs maybe. And like, let's say you had the assets or even like the Knicks, would you be trading for Ben Simmons right now?
I mean, not after his playoff performance. Absolutely not. I don't think he's lived up to all of the hype that people were giving him in the first place. But on top of that, you know, if you're a team that's trying to win a championship, you don't want all of this extra drama and...
It's a distraction.
Yeah, it's a distraction. Major distraction.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the bottom line. Ben Simmons has no cards in this, right? Because he clearly, this one card was he's going to hold out for as long as he wanted, which we've seen in football. Le'Veon Bell, I keep bringing up the scenario, but he held out for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a year, and then he wanted to become a free agent, and he held out. He got fined every day, and he just didn't play that year, which was insane. Melvin Gordon, was supposed to have the same scenario, ends up reporting, I think, in week 10. We could keep talking about this forever. At the end of the day, Simmons has no leverage at all. And he could just sit on the sidelines forever. Like, I don't know, he's already kind of played his hand to a certain extent because he said he wants to get paid. That's why he showed up. So I don't know. I don't know what the end game is here. He obviously doesn't want to get suspended and not get paid because he obviously showed up to camp. So from a legal perspective, I don't know what cards Ben Simmons holds. And I don't know who necessarily is trading for him. I don't know why anyone would pony up with that much. So, Sixers got to make a decision to some extent because it's becoming a little bit of a joke, but they don't want to be pushed around. So I certainly see why he was suspended for kind of detrimental. Okay. Steph, anything else to add on Simmons? I think we've hit this 100 different directions.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can say is he better get his act together because I don't think any team is going to want this guy.
Okay. So I heard this one on ESPN. Maybe it's just like a hot take central, but a potential trade, which is not going to happen, but you trade one problematic superstar, Ben Simmons. I'm not even going to say he's a superstar. Problematic player. I don't think Ben Simmons gives a superstar status.
Maybe when he first got drafted.
But since he's been playing and he can't hit free throws in big moments, I don't think you can call him a superstar. He was an all-star, but I don't think he's necessarily at superstar status. Okay, so Kyrie Irving, separate problem. Stephanie, thank you for congratulating me on my Fox Business appearance talking about Kyrie Irving.
Congratulations on your Fox Business appearance, Dan.
I don't know why I have to keep prompting you for these things. I think they should just like pop up.
There's just too many of them. You're doing way too many things.
I think so. So brief backstory for anyone. I was on Fox Business last week. I was doing a round of media on John Gruden. And then I got a message from Fox Business and they're like, hey, do you want to come on tonight? And I'm like, of course. And I had been on with them once before. And I assumed it was going to be about John Gruden because I go, that's the biggest story in sports law. And they said, actually, it's about Kyrie Irving's, failure to get the vaccination, his Instagram live. We want to talk about all angles of it. So I'm like, sure. So, a little bit behind baseball, you can't turn down a national interview request. But you guys kind of, I think you guys know me. I'm not the most political person. I'm not someone that has, I'm not like a, you need to get the vaccine or you don't need to get the vaccine type of person. But this is a third rail issue. You're getting close to it. You're talking about vaccines, which is I'm gonna answer the call. I'm gonna be on my toes. So Fox Business, you know, they called. I don't know, you saw the clip. I was asked some questions about herd immunity, about some very, you know, specific vaccination questions. I wasn't going to answer those. You know, I'm a sports law guy. Sports are my politics. I have no dog in the race. But here's unless you're living under a rock, here's essentially what's gone on with Kyrie. Kyrie is the only player on the Knicks or the Nets that has not received the vaccination. There was a New York City mandate as well as a San Francisco mandate that requires players that are playing home team players, not road team players, which makes it a little more complicated. But if you're based in New York, you're a New York Knick, or you're based in New York City, and you are, you know, you play for the Brooklyn Nets or same type of deal over in San Francisco, you are not eligible to play in your home games if you do not get vaccinated. So Andrew Wiggins tried to apply for a religious exemption, didn't get it, ends up getting pressured. I think he said it himself, pressured to get the vaccine over for Golden State. So he's not an issue. The only player that I'm aware of that's an issue in these home markets is Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie Irving said he's not anti-vax. He just is kind of making it a point that he doesn't want to get the vaccine because he's upset about what it's done to other people. From a business standpoint, it's a little bizarre exactly what Kyrie Irving is protesting or making a stance on. Mm-hmm. What is clear is the Nets said, we don't want this distraction anywhere near our organization. So Steph, I'll turn it to you. What's going on with Kyrie?
Well, I mean, Kyrie obviously has not been able to play or practice with the team because he hasn't met the eligibility requirements. Apparently, I saw the other day he was in New Jersey playing football at a high school with a few people. So, I mean, at least he's kind of staying in shape while he is out. But, I mean, I think if you are a superstar on, let's say, a team that obviously can be a contender for a championship again this year, you have Harden, Durant. He would have been, you know, the third. Blake Griffin's been playing well. If I were him, I would almost suck it up for the championship. Like, do you want a ring or not? That's where I'm at with this whole thing. I think that I agree with you. I'm not one to say, okay, don't get the vaccine or get the vaccine. I don't really have a stance on that. But I mean, just from a superstar basketball player perspective, this is your career and you're essentially just throwing it away for that.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm looking at the odds right now. The Brooklyn Nets are still the title favorites. I think that is not necessarily the odds. Nets are +240 to win the title. Lakers are next at +400. Then there's a big drop. Golden State Warriors +900, Milwaukee Bucks to repeat a +900. So I don't think, you know, sometimes you look at those odds and that's kind of an understanding that, hey, you know, Kyrie Irving is going to come back and play in some capacity. I don't know if it's necessarily that. I think, you know, if you have James Harden and Kevin Durant and you were like one, Kevin Durant, like toe away from beating the Milwaukee Bucks, like that might be all it means, right? That if you have Durant and Harden, that's enough. But yeah, I mean, Kyrie, for those that don't know, you know, at one point was he believed in this flat earth theory that the earth was literally flat. I think he had something with dinosaurs too, but something with the dinosaurs. But he's the same guy that, you know, Nike put out a shoe, you know, the Kyrie shoe, and he made, you know, he said the shoe, I didn't consent to this. And, you know, it's very rare that someone is part of a brand deal with Nike or a big company like that and then is making fun of the product that has their name on it. So, you know, you have this thing with Kyrie. The guy stands out time and time again. He's partnered with LeBron James. He's like the only guy to like demand a trade away from like a LeBron-based team. So, you know, Kyrie's the type of guy to make a stand here for better, for worse. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Just talking about Ben Simmons, I thought there was a world where the Nets were going to make an example of him. What the NBA Players Union and the league agreed to do is essentially the only way they could, you know, legally, quote unquote, legally with what a union union is allowing. They said if a player was not eligible to play in a home game, they were going to be docked that salary. So Kyrie Irving is making around like $33, $34 million. Kyrie Irving is not eligible to get paid half his salary because he plays half his games in the home market of Brooklyn. So I thought they were going to treat him like a holdout. I had a feeling they were going to do that. But essentially the Nets just said, listen, even though you could be making the other, you know, 16 or whatever the other, you know, 50% of your salary is, it's, you know, 15, 16, 17 million in there. And we could have you for half the games. The Nets have basically said, we don't want you anywhere near the team. So
yeah,
it's kind of odd. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I don't know. In some aspects, I get it, just because he will for one thing, how would he practice?
I mean,
he can't go into.
Well, they could have made an, this is the whole thing. They could have made an exception for him to like move the practice facility.
Yeah. I mean, Steve Nash said that we're not going to move practice because this is our home court. This is where our facilities are. We're not just going to do this for one guy. And, you know, I don't think that's unreasonable for them to do it all.
Yeah. So, I mean, like that's really where the story kind of comes and goes. Kyrie is being told, listen, I know you could be playing in half the road games with us, but every time they go to the podium, they're going to be asked, James Harden's going to be asked, you know, like, hey, would you have won this, you know, home game if you had Kyrie, right? Or from the road, like,
yeah.
You know, what's it like coming in out of the lineup? So yeah, the Nets have made a, you know, interesting decision, basically say, we don't want Kyrie anywhere near the team, banned from all teams, you know, teams practices and from all road games. So Kyrie, I don't know what he's necessarily so upset about because he's going to get paid a ton of money to sit at home and do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So Steph, we're going to timestamp this. Your prediction, do you think Kyrie Irving plays a minute for the Nets this season?
At this point, maybe we'll have to reevaluate post-Christmas time, maybe next year.
Maybe they're going to change the mandate. Is that possible?
Maybe. It's possible.
How about this? Do you think that Kyrie Irving gets vaccinated? That's my thing to you.
No.
No, you don't. But you think there's a world that they change the mandates in New York City?
Maybe there is a world in a few months, next year or something, but Kyrie is not getting vaccinated. If he was, he would have gotten vaccinated already.
Agreed. So yeah, I mean, I'm hearing some, not real rumblings, but people saying, why don't you trade Simmons for Kyrie? It'll solve both problems. We'll see. I'm also hearing reports that Ben Simmons also might not be vaccinated. So that might kind of make this whole argument moot. So, okay. Chapter one, chapter two in the books, the chapter three for today, we want to talk a little college football. Not that, you know, when I talk college football, it's usually in the Big Ten context. Pac-12 football, you know, there's sometimes some legal issues in the Pac-12. Those guys are relatively quiet. But we do have one that pops up. So Nick Rolovich is the Washington State Cougars football coach. Yeah, I mean, he's making a stand. A couple of weeks ago, he announced that he was not vaccinated for privacy reasons. You know, he was a former quarterback at University of Hawaii, former coach over there as well. He had his big break coaching Washington State, a Division I program, you know, and a solid school. They're always kind of in the mix, Washington State. And here's the headline, right? Coach refuses to get vaccinated and is fired for cause. So here's the, I guess, at a really high level. I dug into the rules a little bit. I have an appearance later tonight on a SiriusXM Pac-12 college sports. So question is like, you know, and we were talking, Steph and I were, you, obviously I'm talking to the guests, but we're also talking to you. We were talking to a colleague in our office, and I don't, you know, we pay attention to sports, but this issue is popping up around the country. I don't know, like it just seems that if you're a private employer to a certain extent, you can force someone to get the vaccine. You could fire them for cause to the extent that they don't comply with those rules. Without getting into legalese, like, do you think that that's okay?
I mean, I'm trying to think back to, you know, when I was studying for the bar with Themis, but there was a world where, I mean, because health and safety is given to the states, correct? So it does make sense. I don't know. I don't want to take a side, yes or no, because obviously I understand the people that do not want to get the vaccine. It's totally understandable. It's a personal choice. I do think that it is a personal choice. But at the same time, you know, these big private companies, if they're going to be paying you your salary, then they kind of have the right to make the rules that they want to make.
Yeah, I don't disagree with it. I mean, here, the funny thing with Washington State, you know, it's private. It's not a private college. It's a public institution, you know, so they are essentially saying that they have grounds of hiring for cause because under, you know, university rules, unless you receive some type of exemption, you had to follow the state vaccine mandate. And he had until October 18th, which is yesterday. That was Monday, October 18th, to receive it. I believe there was five or four other coaches on the staff that also didn't receive the vaccine in time. And We don't really know what their reasons are. We know that he applied for an exemption, that it wasn't accepted. But even if it was accepted, there was still this question as to whether, you know, you were going to be around students that would be unsafe. You were going to be interacting with the public. So I think even if he got the exemption, I don't think the school would have been inclined to give it to him. There was this interesting kind of footnote, like you had to apply, at least at Washington State, I don't know if this is consistent across the country, but if you applied for a religious exemption, it was like a blind application. So nobody knew who had the application. So maybe it was like the head football coach who'd be inclined to like grant that religious exemption. But there was this kind of like backup. Even if you were granted a religious exemption, then they looked at who you were and they said if you were too close to the public, and then they could like basically void the exemption if you were too close to the public. So the exemption would say normally you don't have to get the vaccine and you could continue carry on about work. But there was one safeguard that said, yeah, we're going to give you an exemption, but now let's see who you are. And if you still interact with the public too closely, we're just going to negate this and we can fire you anyway.
I feel like that's almost counterintuitive to do it that way. Like, why not? If you're going to look and see who it is and then maybe say no anyways, why not just do that first?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't disagree. I don't disagree. But, you know, there's people in my reply saying, is this unfair? Is, you know, Rolovich going to sue the school? You know, they're not. I don't know. Like, what is he really suing for? If the school rules require you to be, you know, vaccinated and apply with state law, like, I don't know, at certain points, his choice, right? Like, I mean, this is really the theme of the podcast today, why we pick these particular topics. Like, Ben Simmons has a choice. He could either report or not report. He's making his decision. He knows the consequences of his actions. He's going to get fined a ton of money, and he might not necessarily get traded. There's nothing going to guarantee that he gets traded. And then, like, you go over to Kyrie, like, Kyrie knows, like, every other player, you know, with the Knicks and the Nets and the Warriors has gotten vaccinated, so they knew what the consequences were of getting fined and maybe not, you know, and becoming looking really bad in the public realm. And Kyrie's doing it anyway, so he might have really good religious or health reasons. I don't know what they are, but he's viewed those reasons as being more important than getting it. And then you go over, you know, to Nick Rolovich over at Washington State, and I believe he's the only Division I coach that has said on the record that he's not vaccinated. I believe maybe I'm not wrong, but head coach, at least head football coach. But he's making that decision. So, you know, this is not a podcast that tells you what you can or shouldn't do. I had people pop in my replies and tell me that I should have gone on Fox Business and said that everyone should get vaccinated. And then I had people that were my replies that said, like, you should say that it's no one's choice and like people should never get vaccinated. So I'm like, I don't, at the end of the day, we're all human beings, like, right? Like, people can drink, they can smoke, they can do whatever they want, they can gamble, they can do a number of things. But like, I don't know, if you're trying to have gainful employment in the sports field, you've been seeing this time and time again. Like, this is a league run by billionaires. So you can be a millionaire coach, millionaire player. Those guys run the league. Those guys are making the rules. It's not really that complicated.
No, I completely agree. I mean, it's an interesting situation. We'll see what happens at other D1 schools, I guess. Maybe something will happen there. And who knows? In the next few months, there's rumblings of a federal vaccine mandate. Like, everything is all still so up in the air.
Yeah. I mean, just putting a pin in it, just we wanted to address these because at a certain point, like, I don't know, it's going to keep popping up. It's in, you know, our boss, Garagos and Garagos, Mark Garagos of Garagos and Garagos, you know, he was talking about like how the world has changed, that things that we didn't, you know, think about, you know, we didn't think about who was vaccinated, who was not vaccinated. You know, the whole conversation we had in the podcast last year about separating sports and politics. Now we're like, we can't really separate like health decisions and sports.
Right.
Like, it's just a weird world that we're in. It's not really typical, but like, I don't know, this is kind of the new norm and people need to know, which we'll certainly talk about on the next podcast, talking about Gruden and the St. Louis Rams stuff. Like, you know, billionaires, like, you know, Washington State University is a school that's making, you know, they want to make the decision. So it doesn't matter that it seems like, you know, Rolovich had the support of the locker room and support of the players. The school didn't want him around. They said it set a bad example. So I don't know. Those are the people that get to have the say. And if that's the majority of people at Washington State want people to be vaccinated, like, you know, tough luck. That's what Washington State says. Is Washington State wrong? No, but like they get to control, you know, they get to say what they want to do to some extent. Same with the, you know, and same with the Mets. Yeah. Nets, I don't know if they're making a smart. I mean, Steph, if you're the Nets, do you let Kyrie play half his games and pay him half his salary?
I don't know. I feel like that's so tough to say just because you would probably want someone who's going to be playing in your games to be practicing with you every single day. And if he can't practice with the team, then what's the point?
Okay, so that'll put that in the books. I guess last but not least, we'll hit one more topic, and then I have some legal life advice for you, Steph.
Okay.
One more topic. Not a long topic, very quick one. Evander Kane.
I'm tired of talking about him.
Well, it's good. Good you're tired of talking about him because we have the investigations that have wrapped. So I don't know if we mentioned in the podcast, the NHL essentially said there was no substance to the gambling allegation. So not going to get suspended for that. And, you know, surprise, surprise. My understanding is that his wife, his estranged wife, wasn't cooperating with that investigation. So she's the only one that's levied any type of gambling allegations against him. So they close that. They don't fine him or suspend him or give him any type of discipline for that. So then, you know, there's these separate domestic violence assault allegations. Again, they're coming from her. So to the extent that she doesn't cooperate, I don't really know how the NHL is going to move forward with some type of investigation. So
exactly.
They make an announcement to, yesterday, Monday, October 18th, they say, again, you know, following up, we have we're not going to suspend him for the assault, domestic violence stuff. But friend of the show, AJ Perez, will give him all the credit in the world. He broke the story on Evander Kane's fake vaccine. Do you have some details on that?
Yeah, apparently not just does he have a fake vaccine card, but he's now suspended for 21 games, unpaid.
But what did he do? What was the fake vaccine card? He showed it to the NHL that he had a fake vaccine card?
See, that's where it's a little bit... There's not too much information on the investigation.
Like, who was he faking out? Like, who was this given to? Was he given to a restaurant?
I think he had to submit proof of vaccine
to the NHL.
To the NHL.
So he lied about his vaccine to the NHL?
Yeah, that's what it seems like, at least.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, this is unintentionally the sports vaccination show, which is the sexiest of all topics, because everyone wants to talk about this.
Well, the weird thing is that I guess the NHL players, they're not even required to be vaccinated. They're highly encouraged to do so. But if you are unvaccinated, then you're subject to more strict protocols. And so I guess he was like, I don't want to be subject to these protocols. So I'm just going to fake this vaccination card and see how it goes. And I mean, we've seen how everything with him has gone in the past few months. Like, how many times has he apologized in the media for things that have come out about him? We've got the bankruptcy, the gambling allegations, the domestic violence. Now we have this.
The guy, I don't know who would have told him, like, well, a little short aside. Stephanie, do you watch Entourage? I told you I've been rewatching it.
Yes. So, I haven't in a while.
So there's an episode, and hopefully I'm not dating anybody. My Entourage references, it wasn't that long ago. But Vinny Chase, the star of the show, also the star of Clickbait, Adrian Grenier. Did you watch Clickbait?
I did watch Clickbait.
Was that my recommendation?
It was.
Clickbait was very good.
It was very good.
But he's getting drug tested for a movie. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was like for Ferrari or whatever the movie was. And he admits to the gang that he has taken some type of recreational drug, that if he takes the drug test legitimately, he will fail it. So he speaks to one of his friends. I think it was Billy Walsh. Do you know who Billy Walsh is?
Honestly?
You didn't watch Entourage. Don't lie.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Whatever. This is for the everybody else that watches Entourage. But anyway, he goes to his friend, and the friend goes, I know how you can pass the drug test. And the guy goes, how? And he goes, well, you can... we'll say urinate through a fake device. Do I have to specify what this is?
No, but I know exactly. I've heard that before.
So, you know, he makes a decision and he does it and he uses this fake device, which fake urine, I'm sure. I don't know how many people do it, but whatever. And he ends up passing the test. So like, you know, we make the joke online all the time, like assumption of the risk. If you do that, which is a moronic move, like getting caught is far worse than like just failing the drug test, right? If you get caught,
1,000%. Like, is it really worth the risk?
Is it worth the risk? Okay, right. Evander Kane, what are you doing, right? If it's not required for you to get the vaccine, like, just go through the extra protocol. Like, you don't need an extra distraction. So, you know what? This news broke while I was in class yesterday, and I'm like, 21 games for a vaccine violation. That seems a little excessive. Mm-hmm. That's a quarter of the season. But I'm like, you know, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Maybe that in and of itself is worth a quarter of the game, just lying to everyone that you got the vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, I also wouldn't be surprised if the NHL was just kind of trying to not set an example with him, but almost implement a punishment for all of the other drama that he has caused in the news lately on top of it.
You know, it's possible. They didn't say it, but like, you know, certainly possible. I don't know.
Like, I wonder if some other player had done the same thing, if it would have been 21 games, because he's, I guess he's forfeiting $1.68 million of his.
And the guy needs the money.
That's what I was
going to
say.
The guy needs the money. Like, the guy needs the money. He's going through a divorce, very expensive divorce. And I'm not sure how many years the guy's going to play.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's Vander Kane. Maybe it's the end of the saga. But you know, we did predict this in a couple of, I predicted it, and maybe Wallach disagreed with me. I don't, we got to check the tapes, but I said, I didn't think he was going to be in the ice opening day. I didn't know I'd get bailed up by a COVID violation, but I'll take it. Okay. So, we haven't done this one in a while. Let's do some legal life advice. Steph, you acknowledged it early on. You know, we have the bar review results coming out, right?
Soon.
So, soon. When is soon? How soon is soon?
They said no later than November 10th.
Okay. So very soon. Legal life advice. I had someone reach out to me in another state. Maybe they're listening to this now. Obviously I'm not going to say anyone's name, but, the pass rates, my understanding for,
they're so down.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the test was impossible.
Isn't it graded on a curve though?
Yes, but it doesn't even matter.
But how can the pass rates be so, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Because it was so hard.
Well, you know what, Steph, before I forget, do we know anybody that's like maybe in the business of helping people pass the bar? Anyone that you can like possibly think of?
Oh, maybe Themis?
Yes. Do you like, Stephanie, when you think of Themis, is there any like anything or any like slogan that, or any like, you know, maybe ad read that they gave us and they want us to read? Does anything like come to mind?
Honestly, studying for the bar can feel very overwhelming, which I can attest to. But Themis has you covered. And I will say that their adaptive calendar, so essentially in the program, they give you an adaptive calendar. It's on your computer and it helps you manage your studying by automatically adjusting your assignments and balancing your workload based on your progress all the way up to the bar exam. So you never fall behind. There's like a percentage tracker of how much you've completed because you're supposed to complete at least 75%. That's what they say. And so you can score high with Themis. Make sure to visit themisbar.com/condetrimental. So they know that we sent you. And I mean, I'm a someone that likes lists. I like checking things off. So the calendar that they provided was very, very helpful for me, at least trying to stay on top of things while also trying not to get burned out from bar review.
So Steph, I have to be mindful with you on Themis reads because you actually just love Themis.
I do.
Okay. So
until bar results come out.
No. You love Themis no matter what. So anyway, my life advice, you know, the pass rates are very low this year, or lower than they normally are. I don't want anyone to worry, you know, for better, for worse, like you guys have been through 3 years of law school plus the bar prep at the end. Like, I don't know, but just because you don't pass the bar exam, like you gotta just, you know, just know to yourself that it will only get better, right? Sometimes you gotta, you know, fall off the horse to get back on it again. But yeah, I had a law student that reached out and I felt bad. He was so disheartened. He was like, yeah, I don't have the energy or the strength to take this again. I'm so down on myself. I'm going to look for alternative careers, you know, be it in compliance. You know, I felt bad. And I told him what I just said. I'm like, you know, you got to dust yourself off and try again. And, you know, maybe it's just the recency of it, but he was really down in the dumps. And I directed him obviously to our job board. And I said, listen, a lot of these are gambling jobs. You know, they don't require necessarily a law degree, but you know, and like school compliance jobs, you know, for NIL coordinators don't require necessarily a law degree, but you know, I imagine everyone that goes to law school has at least thought of, you know, you take the LSATs, that's like 2 years, right, of your life, applying to schools, going to law school, doing all these stupid summer internships and all this different stuff. Like you can't, I mean, you don't pass the exam one time. You gotta be better than that. So, you know, it's not an excuse.
It's not about how you fall. It's about how you get back up again.
Yeah. So, you know, if it's happened to anybody, just know that it gets brighter, but you know, it is what it is. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you need to flip the coin twice. You know, and if it's a 50-50 shot of passing it, you know, you owe it to yourself, at least take the exam again. But you know, I don't know. I felt really bad about, his mindset. And yeah, everyone, you know, listen, whatever happens, and you know, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes it takes you maybe failing the test once, or God forbid, twice, three times, and you'll value the legal profession that much more, right? It's just how it is.
That's the problem with that. I will say the problem with the bar is I don't think it has any indication about how you are going to be as an attorney.
It might.
Apart from the multi-state performance test, which is part of it.
Right.
That's like what you would be doing, analyzing the case file and coming up with an argument.
Yeah, I mean, it might or might not. You know, fortunately, jokes aside, Themis is excellent. So, you know, if you took a different bar prep course and you need to switch it up, go, you know, definitely go over Themis. I'm sure they have some deals that my contact Rebecca will tell us about afterward. Rebecca listens to every podcast, Rebecca Petrelli. Shout out to Rebecca. But yeah, listen, at the end of the day, bar, yeah, everyone goes to law school, you got to pass the bar. So just to stay on it. Okay, and now for everyone's favorite segment, maybe just my favorite segment. What to watch for? Steph, kick us off.
So I watched the first episode on Hulu of Dope Sick. Have you heard of it? Michael Keaton's in it.
No.
So it's essentially like a series with characters and people playing the different parts, but it's all about the Oxy drug epidemic and just how that all unraveled and everything behind the scenes. It was actually very entertaining.
Okay.
A little bit dark.
It's about drugs.
Yeah, but about the impact. Michael Keaton's phenomenal, so I think that's part of why I wanted to watch it.
Okay. I mean, that doesn't sound like the most like ringing endorsement for this.
Okay. Well, you know what? Everyone, go watch Dope Sick on Hulu. Let me know how you think it is. And if it sucks, my apologies. Oh, Squid Game, duh.
Okay, let's talk about Squid Game. Games are more in line with what we're doing.
Do not watch Dope Sick before you watch Squid Game, because Squid Game has taken over the world. And I don't know, I might have to dress up as a
squid.
As a squid from Squid Game for Halloween.
How about Squidward?
Squidward, I was SpongeBob for Halloween 2 years ago. The Doodle Bob version of SpongeBob.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I made a giant pencil. It was so good.
Okay, so Doodle Bob, Squid Game. I tried to watch the first 5 minutes of Squid Game, and I'm like, this is just this is like half subtitles, half like dubbed lips going on. Yeah. I'm like, I got to sit down and really watch it. Okay. So, one of us remembered that this is a sports law podcast. So I do have one of us, not to mention any names. Netflix, I love that they're leaning into the sports documentary phase. Okay, so check this out. There's the Untold series, which I think I've talked about on this podcast. Watch all the Untolds. It's very good. Now, they're just doubling down here. There's another docuseries on Netflix called Bad Sport. Watch all of them. I'm going to just tell you about one that I thought was fantastic. Maybe I'll tell you two. So it's basically 30 for 30. Netflix is encroaching on ESPN's jurisdiction and they want to take over the sports documentary space, which I'm totally cool with. As many sports documentaries, that's like my favorite genre. So I watched the ESPN 30 for 30 back in the day on the Boston College point shaving scandal, which people know what point shaving is. It's basically, you know, a fix, like let's say Boston College is favored by 10.5 points over another basketball program. Let's just pretend it's like, I don't know, let's pretend, who should they play? Notre Dame, right? They're favored by 10.5 over Notre Dame.
Yep.
And as long as Boston College wins by less than 10.5, you know, there's some shenanigans that could occur. So I was not aware of this. I'm a little embarrassed that I wasn't aware of it, but Hoop Schemes is the season 1, episode 1 of Bad Sport. It was about the Arizona State's own point shaving scandal. So I'm not going to bear the lead, but it's very fascinating federal investigation that resulted. And then number two, I'll let you guys watch it. But, it's basically 30 for 30 on Netflix. It's called Bad Sport. And if you missed my earlier one, Untold is the other documentary series you should be going. Steph, anything else before we put this in the books?
I don't think so. I mean, it's getting cold out and I don't like it. That's all I can say.
So, yeah, we'll make some announcements over the next couple of weeks and months. But again, we want to thank everyone that's been listening to our St. Louis Rams relocation series, the roundtable that we had as our last episode, or town hall, whatever you want to call it, was our, incredible turnout. Those are like our 5 most popular episodes of all time. So, you know, we wanted to give everyone a little bit of a breather, do some basketball, do some hockey. Our next episode, Dan and I get together with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports to break down the 2 biggest stories in football, John Gruden, and again, the St. Louis Rams stuff. So we promised you guys we'd keep hitting that. But, a brief break. Hopefully everyone appreciates it. We will put this episode in the books. I am Dan Lust. I'm at Sports of Lust on Twitter and Instagram. Stephanie is at, what do you want to do? You want to do at Steph Explains It All?
No, we'll do my Twitter. It's just @Wiseburger_.
No, it's not long. It's not really hard to spell or anything like that.
Yeah, it's fine.
We are @ConDetrimental on Twitter and Instagram. conductdetrimental.com. We have a few more people we'll be bringing into the fold, whether it be here or on social media in different places. But we say it for a reason. If you do want to get involved in some way, shape, or form, just reach out. We will find a spot for you on our lovely growing team as a writer or something else. But we'll find a place for you. That will put this episode in the books. And we will see you next week or tomorrow, whenever the other episode drops, on another episode of Conduct Detrimental.